Broadcasting from USA Swimming's headquarters at the Carolyn Dirks Building in Colorado Springs, Colorado, it's time for Kick Set. Join three-time Olympian Elizabeth Beisel and U.S. National Team Director of Performance Matt Barbini as they host members from the USA swimming community, ranging from age group to Olympic levels of the sport.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kick Set podcast. I know this is when you normally hear Matt Barbini's voice, but Matt Barbini is away in Ireland doing duties with USA Swimming, so it is a solo podcast for me. Shout out to Matt Barbini for just being an absolute joy, and we are so lucky to have him at USA Swimming doing his thing. But anyways, we have an amazing guest today, and I want to preface that by saying how exciting the summer was for me to watch as a spectator, especially regarding the youth of USA Swimming and how that kind of shapes leading into Paris and especially LA. And I'm sure this guest we will see maybe at both and beyond. But our guest today is Alex Shackle, and she was a member of the 4x200 freestyle relay this past summer at World Championships, and she actually anchored that relay to a silver medal against Ariane Titmus on the same relay as Ledecky. And this is certainly a name that you all want to remember. So, Alex, fresh out of school, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's like a dream come true to be on something, anything USA Swimming. So I'm really excited.
Well, USA Swimming is very lucky to have you representing them, wearing that American flag on your cap. Let's talk about that. What was your first experience? And I know you had been on junior team before, but what was your first experience as like a true national team member from start to finish?
I mean, it was definitely different than I expected, but also, I mean, all throughout the training camp, it's a lot different than you see on social media or anything. People definitely grind there. It's not all like fun. And I mean, obviously it is fun, but there's definitely training, there's doubles. Everyone's on a different plan. So just kind of finding out the right path for yourself to get you ready for the actual meet, which was in Japan. It was actually my first time being out of the country. So it was all a new experience, but I had a lot of fun. And after the prelims relay, finding out I was on finals and anchoring, it definitely came as a shock. I mean, my goal was just to do my best. And if I got on the finals relay, that would have been really cool. And then my coach actually told me when I was warming down, he's like, you know, I don't know if you're ready to hear this, but you'll be on the relay tonight and you're going fourth. And I was like, oh man. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And I mean, Katie definitely kept it light in the ready room. And the other youngsters, Bella and Aaron, we're all in it together. So,
yeah, it was such a young relay, which I loved, but then balanced out by Ledecky, obviously. Let's go back to nationals just for a second, because you had an absolutely stellar nationals. That's the type of meet that every swimmer wants to have, especially at a trials. Going into that meet, what were your expectations and how did you manage your nerves, especially heading into the final after having such a big, and I'm talking about the Turner Free, your other events were also amazing, but how did you handle those nerves heading into the final knowing, oh my goodness, there's a high probability that I can make this team tonight?
I mean, luckily for me, it was in my hometown. So, I mean, I live in Carmel. I stayed at my house. My whole family's here. So it was a 20-minute drive downtown every day. So it felt kind of a little more normal. But then I actually had the tuner fly and the hunter free the first day. So, and those actually went pretty well in prelims. But then I don't know what happened. I usually drop every time in finals, but I think I was thinking too much about getting second, or especially in the tuner fly, because I thought if anything, if I'm in the team, it'd be in that event. So I added a little bit of finals, and I was, I remember like a lot of people were just telling me that like, you know, it's always next year. And I was like, well, hi, you know, I'm not done yet. I didn't say anything. I was like, yeah, I mean, I have four more events or three. And I've done like one tuner free the whole season before I did my prelim swim. So I knew that, I mean, I would have a pretty good swim. I didn't know exactly. I wanted to be 158. That was actually the goal. And so I went 157 in the morning and I was so happy with that. And I think a lot of it was because, I mean, I was in heat four, kind of out by myself, but it was so much fun. I felt really good. And so going into finals, I didn't think about a place. I just wanted to race the people next to me. I knew they took more, up to six. So the goal was to get maybe fourth, but I was like, don't even think about it. So just race. And I ended up doing better. So I definitely learned a lot from the tuner fly final going into the tuner free.
Yeah. And talking about that tuner fly final, how were you able to kind of reset your brain into thinking, you know, I'm not done with this meet. You know, everybody's telling you, oh, you got next year. Don't worry about it. At such a young age, was that something that your coach, Chris, kind of helped you with? Was it something that you've kind of worked on yourself, especially for those younger swimmers that are listening right now? And believe it or not, Alex, look up to you, even though you're so young. Like, how did you do that?
I think a lot of it was just my belief in myself, but also my coach and my parents, and actually my grandma, she came in town. We just started one goal at a time, which happened to be just to drop and go best time in the tuner free. And my goal was to actually make the A final. I didn't know if 158 would do that, but I just thought if I raced, and not really worried about what happened around me. I think being in heat four helped me out with that, because there was like nine heats or something, so I didn't really see any other times that I had to have pressure to beat. I was just myself in my own lane. And I think that's something, if there, you know, are people listening to this that are younger, just you can't worry about other people. It's you and the clock. And I know like everyone says that, but it really is. And if you think about other people, it kind of plays with your mind and you overthink things. And if it's just you and your own lane, you're in control.
And I'm assuming that you implemented that mindset when you were stepping up on the blocks for the final at Worlds racing Ariane Titmus. What was that experience like? And maybe I would love for you to just walk me through that entire night, you know, from the time that you arrive at the pool to the time that you are stepping up on the blocks against one of the fastest swimmers in the world, which you are as well, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I didn't really get, I mean, I feel like everyone would get nervous just before any race. Doesn't really matter what meet it is. At least that's how I am. Because it was a relay, I think it was a little less because I had more people around me, which I think is a good experience for next year, because, I mean, it's not everyone gets to be a part of a relay with Kayla Decky on it. So I don't know if she knows, but she helped me a lot. And she actually gave me, I've told someone this, but she gave me this token and it said, "You got this" on it. She gave it to me behind the blocks right before Aaron dove in to start off the race. And that helped me a lot, just knowing people actually want, like, you know, USA wants me to succeed and do the best I can. And I mean, in the ready room and just all around with other countries, so it's definitely different. But I learned that throughout the whole meeting, because I didn't swim until like day five. So I kind of got to experience what it was like for other people and get used to it. But I mean, the Australians were, I mean, they're really good, and China and Great Britain, you know, and those other teams. So, I mean, but also USA is. And so I felt a great amount of pride walking out with the American cap on and raising our hands with the flag behind us. That's something I'll never forget. So, I mean, that gave me confidence knowing I was swimming for USA. So I was just swimming to prove that we are there and we're ready for next year too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. How much motivation, now that you've kind of had a taste of that true international scene. How much motivation did that give you heading into this next season as we head into an Olympic year?
Bella Sims was my roommate, actually, and she was talking about how when she made her first team, it was, like, addictive. Like, she kept wanting to do it and keep going back. And that's how, at first, I was like, yeah, I consider that. But after I swam, I was like, I want to race tomorrow and then the next day after that. It's so fun. And just being a part of the whole team, getting, like, massages and getting fed right, it's something that you don't get back at your club or your high school. It's definitely a unique experience.
Yeah. Can you actually touch on that and dive a little deeper into the amenities and the services that are provided to you as a national team athlete on the world championship team, like the massages, nutritionists, all that stuff? Because I feel like that's something that people don't normally know about that are behind the scenes that would love to hear about it. Like, how pampered are they getting? Like, I want you to tell all of us how great it was.
Yeah. I did not know this happened either. So I got there. There was definitely a lot going on in Singapore, but when we got to Japan, there was a team room. And let me just say, me, Anna Poplowski, Bella Sims, I mean, like, everyone, we just hang out in there all the time. Cause, you know, being your little room, it kind of get claustrophobic and you want to see different people. So, and there was a massage area in there. There was Norma Tech, so you didn't have to bring your own. They had it for you. And there's a big table that's full of food, like two fridges. And like, there was a Costco in Japan. And so some of the, I don't know what to call them, but like people in charge of the food or health, and some of the doctors, they would go and they come back and you just see everything's stocked. Like the fridge, like stuff was coming out. And they had like, it was just different. And you felt like really appreciated. And I have never had so many massages in my life. I got one like every other day.
I love that for you, Alex.
I've never felt so good in my entire life. And
right? It helps so much.
I could not thank them enough. I mean, I've gone like two in my entire life before that meet. And I think I came back with like 10, maybe more. So
maybe more.
And they do such a good job too. They have like five, I don't know what you call them, masseuse maybe, something like
yeah,
that.
No, but, you're right. Massage therapist. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. There was like five of them. So you never really had to wait in line. There is like hop on the table. So they are ready.
Oh, they're absolutely always ready. I mean, I remember on trips that I went to, I was the same, Alex. Like, I never really got massage. It was never available to me. And then you make the national team and you're like, what? Yeah. I get a spa day whenever I want, like for free? It's amazing. I have to ask, because when I was on national team, like everybody's favorite team room snack was just like the peanut butter and the bread. What is it now? Like, is there one thing that everybody's like, we have to have this?
I would say they had bread and they had Nutella. And that was a major hit. They had the jars empty by the end of the day, even by half the day. Personally, for me, there was this really good, like, strawberry dark chocolate granola. And every night, I would have a bowl with milk, and it was like something I looked forward to the whole day. It was just like the end of a good day. Just have a bowl of like granola and milk. It was really good.
It's the little things in life, right, Alex? Like, it's yeah. Just a bowl of granola and milk at the end of the day that makes us happy.
flat wooden spoons. Yeah.
There you go. Good yep. For the environment, at least, you know?
Right.
From August 2022 to August 2023, in 12 months, you've won a world championship medal, 5 junior Pan Pac medals, 2 FINA World Cup medals, bronze in Indy in the 100 and 200 fly, and so many more. Like, we don't have enough time. Do you have a favorite moment over the past 12 months that you could share with us?
I think it's hard not to say Worlds, But to be different, I'll say something else. I think.
Well, you can say two things. You know, okay. I'm not that harsh. I'll take two if I can get it.
Okay. I'll start off with, I think I'll have to go with World Cup in Indy, that stop, which was a different one because it was short course meters, which I had never done before. So going into it, it was just like all fun. See how fast I can go without worrying about times or anything. That's when, like, I wasn't part of the USA then. I was part of my club team, but my friends were also there. And it was like some friends, but also get to see like the international stage. So, which was also where I live. So that was also nice. But to get
it helps, like, all these nice big meets are in your backyard.
Yeah.
And awesome.
It's just like lining up.
I mean, even Olympic trials next year. Are you going to stay in a hotel or are you going to drive?
No, I'm going to drive.
Okay. Amazing. Okay.
If you think about it, my own bed, my own food, like it's hard. Not my family is here. It makes it feel a little more normal. So
yeah, I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Any other favorite moments, or are we going to leave it at that?
I'll go with one more. I'll say I have to go with Junior Pan Pax in Hawaii. That mm-hmm. I so much fun. Especially being a part, that was my first USA meet, and it was the coolest experience. I think everyone there, we're all, you know, we were really young. There's a lot of even like Kayla Han, we were roommates there, and it's different seeing really fierce competitors when you're just with them alone. Like, they can come off like shy or just like all. People told me that they thought I was intimidating. I'm always like frowning on deck, but like I'm the complete opposite. When I'm,
you are like a ball of joy, Alex.
Yeah. So I mean, that's a good thing about making these teams, that you can meet your competitors and see, man, they're actually not that scary, or they're totally different than I thought, or they're exactly like how I thought.
Yeah. Was there anybody on the world championship team that you maybe thought was going to be intimidating? Or like maybe you read wrong just from the exterior and then you got to know them and it was like such a nice surprise?
Yeah, for sure. Reagan Smith. I feel like, I don't know, I just did not expect her to be as funny as she is. Like, nothing against her. She has the most unique personality. She really doesn't, she's friendly to everyone. I mean, she came up to me before I even went up to her. So, which that spoke a lot about her, because she totally didn't, you know, she was on her own plan. She had a lot of swims to do, but she was really nice to me. So.
That's awesome. I love hearing that, because I've been one of the young ones on teams before, just like you. And I would love to know, was there any element of you feeling kind of nervous and intimidated and almost like, do I belong here? Like, are people going to be my friends? I mean, luckily it was a younger team, but did you feel any of that while you were there?
Luckily for me, my coach was also there. But besides that, I mean, in Singapore, I was kind of alone. I mean, because I think it was because like all training, everything was different. So a lot of the days I trained by myself. But so that was a little bit hard, not having like people to talk to or make jokes while I was training. But I mean, it wasn't against anyone. It wasn't really anyone's fault, just because of how what different paths people were while they were training. But then I got to Japan and everyone was on the same team. It really felt like everyone was on the same path and heading the same direction. So that helped bring the team together. I think everyone just like, even the young people in their first time, everyone just like came out and we were all friends by the end of the trip.
That's awesome. I love to hear that. You mentioned your coach, Chris. He has created quite the dynasty at Carmel. What is it like swimming under somebody so incredible like Chris?
I mean, I moved here like 2.5 years ago, and I never would have thought this is where I'd be right now. While moving here, I remember when I moved here, I had never done a double in my entire life, and that was a big change. But I mean, he makes it feel like it's not a chore, and it's like people actually want to go to practice every day. And especially our other coach, we actually have a new one now, but I had a fly coach. She's off to a different job, but while she was here, she helped me so much with just feeling like confident in myself and in my training, and not being afraid to like talk to her or anything. And that's when my fly, I had never been a butterflyer, and she helped me with that. But also, I mean, Chris is amazing, and he brings in good coaches too. It's not just himself, but all the, we have other great coaches that I wish could also come on trips. But I can't thank Chris enough for what he's done for me. I'm really lucky he gets to come along on these trips with me. He also went to Hawaii. So.
It's so nice to have your home coach go. Because, you know, and you've been on trips before, maybe without Chris there or your other coaches there, and not that you're necessarily lost, but it's so comfortable to have that person that knows you well, that knows what to give you in terms of practices. But I would love to know what your favorite thing about being on Carmel is as an athlete.
I think my favorite thing of being on Carmel is that it feels like a mini US team. We all love the sport, and I'm not just saying that. I mean, people are there every day, and I've never seen like people work so hard in my entire life. Like I came here and I was definitely in the back of the pack. And it took me like a year to actually get to where the training is here. And we do tough training. I know, we have something for everyone. We do sprint, mid, long, it's all over the place. So you don't get bored. I hop around different groups all the time. So I'm with different coaches, different people. So that's what, I mean, we're building a new pool too. So, I mean, that's amazing. And they really provide a lot. I mean, especially the high school too provides a lot for our club team.
I would love to know, and I know this might be a little awkward, but I would love to know what you think makes you the incredible swimmer that you are. What qualities do you have? What characteristics do you think attribute to the massive success that you've had in such a short amount of time? You know, there's gotta be something going on right with you to be able to do the things that you've done.
I mean, one thing that I feel like my dad actually went to the Olympics for Great Britain in 96 and 2000. And so ever since I started like understanding what the sport was, I think I was I have a whiteboard and I wrote down how many days to the Rio Olympics. And then I did Tokyo. I mean, obviously I wasn't going to make it when I was like 8 or whatever, but
you got to start dreaming early though, you know, never too early to start doing that.
So that's kind of what started it. And I got better little by little. And even if I wasn't anywhere near as dedicated as I am now, but I was really enjoying it. And I think not pushing it too early, like going to doubles when I'm 10, or I didn't start doubles till I was 14. That made me really like the sport just for, I wanted more from it. And I wanted to keep going back to practice.
I love that. Do you lift weights yet or no?
I wouldn't say, I mean, we do, I haven't done, the most I've done is a squat, but we do use dumbbells and stuff like that. So
Okay. But so like mostly predominantly probably just dry land type stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. I think that's great. Your brother also had a great season and is about to swim, at the LEN U23 championships in Ireland. What is being a swimming family? What is the dynamic like at home? Is it competitive? Is it supportive? I'm assuming supportive, but like, what is all that like for you guys?
I really like it. Especially being in the same, not anymore, but, we were in the same training group, for like a year and a half. And I loved that. He was going to practice every day and driving home. He's kind of introverted, but he'd always make the effort to ask, oh, how was practice? Even though we were doing the same set. And it made it better. And I actually have a twin brother who recently moved up into the group as well. He is also
awesome.
Yeah, which is funny because swimming was not his thing before we moved here. And then Aaron and I, we started, I think we got our first trials cut. He's like, I want to do that. Cause he saw the fun we were having and the feeling of accomplishment when you do something great. It just brings joy in yourself and in the whole family. So then he's getting closer. So I'm really happy for him and he's, training really well and actually likes it. So.
That's amazing. What event is he close to for trials in?
Tuner fly.
I mean, he's got a good amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
How cool would that be if the Shackle twins were both at a home Olympic trials? Like,
right.
That yeah. is such a cool story. Oh my God. And how cool for you to do that with him. Like, oh, that's awesome. All right. One last, I guess, fun question. So I've been doing my digging and I know that you love to dab. So where did this originate and why are you so, I mean, you're just very like, you're so into dabbing, not dying. And I would love to know why.
That's a weird story. I mean, I've always dabbed. Like whenever someone's like a funny photo, I was like, pull up a dab. Yeah, that was just kind of like my thing. It took a little break when I moved here, but then I saw Drew Kibler was into dabbing. And so I was like, you know, he's gone now off of Texas. So someone needs to bring it back. So
of course, and a fellow Carmel person, how perfect is that?
Right. And so I think a lot of us started at Junior Pan Packs. We were playing this game. I think it was called Thumper. We played it at Worlds too for a bonding activity. And I was like, what should I do? And so I ended up popping a dab and it has continued.
People loved it. And now you got to keep giving the people what they want. And that's the dab. So I'm so glad that you are passionate about the dab not dying. We appreciate you. With that, so Alex, we do a little thing on this podcast called Social Kick. And basically people from Instagram, social media, they submit questions specifically asked to you. And so okay. I'm going to ask you those questions on behalf of them. Your answers can be as long or as short as you want them to be. So the first question is from Madison S. And Madison asked, was it scary being young at such a big meet?
Yes and no. I honestly felt more like an honor. I'm like, I'm young. I don't want to say nothing to lose because I had to do my part for the relay. But I took it a lot of it in as experience in preparation for next year. And I don't know, feeling young, I feel like I have more to come. I don't feel like I'm done at all. I'm eager to swim and to do more for USA and the sport. So.
Yeah, you're not even close to done. You're just getting started, Alex. We can't wait to watch. Alrighty. The next question is from Lily L. And Lily asks, ooh, real good question. What is your favorite ice cream flavor? We need to know.
Honestly, a really good bluebell vanilla with a cookie is life-changing.
Is it a warm cookie or like a cookie? Warm cookie.
It's warm with milk chocolate in it because then like it melts. And it, okay. Yes.
Wow. That's a phenomenal answer. You went above and beyond for that. I'm proud. It's now I want it. I'm like, no, it's not. I have the dinner first. Okay. Next up is from Dan O. And Dan asks, what is your favorite race and why?
I think it changes depending what's going, like what feels good. And I feel like anything I'm most confident in, I walk around and like say I'm racing that day. I'm like, I'm really excited to do this. Especially after nationals prelims, I'm like, man, I like the tuner free. So going into finals.
Swimming is fun when you go best times.
Yeah, exactly.
Who knew?
Like, man, I'm really enjoying the tuner free right now. But I mean, it changes all the time. honestly, response, I really like the tuner fly too. So
yeah. And that's like one of your babies, you know, that's one of the, your bread and butter events. So totally understand. But I do love your point of it's always changing. And I totally agree. Like when I was swimming, my favorite event at the time was the one I was swimming the best in. I was like, yep, that's my new favorite event.
Yeah.
Just dropped 8 seconds. It's my new favorite.
Yeah.
So, all righty. Next up is from Connor S. And Connor asks, what is your favorite pool you've ever swam in?
When the Nat, well, the IPY, we call it the Nat, is really like decked out, like how it was for Nationals. I don't think anything can beat that. It was really cool.
Was that the most decked out you've ever seen the Nat?
Yes. I mean, for World Cup, it was similar to that, but it being a long course and just like the whole place being completely decked out was really cool.
I'm sure it's also such a stark difference from, do you have high school championships there?
Yeah. Yeah. We go there all the time, like 5 times a year.
Right. So like you are somebody that is at that pool all the time, all year round. So I'm sure even more so for you to see it on like a normal meet versus world champ trials, like so different.
Right.
But in the best way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My friends and I, we were joking about it. We're like, this is not the same pool. This is totally different.
Yeah, you're like, I swear we're not at the Nat. No way. Are we even in Indianapolis? I don't know.
Right. It did not feel like it.
Yeah. I'm very excited to see how they deck out the Colt Stadium. Actually, yeah. This is not a question from a viewer. It's a question from me. Have you been to Colts games? Are you a Colts fan?
I actually haven't been to any games. Don't come for me.
No. Well, you're also not like a native of Indianapolis. You're new.
I have an excuse.
Who is your home team for football, if you have one?
Well, actually I was born in California, but I would live there for like a year and a half. So I would say the Nashville Titans, because I lived there for 11 years.
Love that. I love that. Yeah. You know what would be cool? And what I think you should do is maybe try to get to a Colts game this year. Just to like see the stadium as a football field.
Yeah.
And then come back in June and be like, how is this a pool? I don't.
That's like, yeah, I think I might. I want to do that now. My dad will totally go. So.
Yeah, I'll reach out to your dad and let him know that's what. When's your birthday?
November 13th, 2006.
Oh, in the middle of football season. I'm just saying this could work out.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, Mr. Shackle, I know what you're getting your daughter for her birthday. All right, last question for Social Kick. And this person didn't have like an Instagram name. I think it was like user 123. But they asked, who was the funniest member of Team USA?
Oh, man. I think Reagan Smith. Yeah. She's so different, like, characteristics about her, and she just does whatever like comes to her head. That's what I love about her. She's so just like real.
I like, how nice is that to hear about somebody? That's the thing too, like I'm sure you already knew this, but it's so cool being on these teams with people that you've heard of because they swim really fast and they've been on the national team forever, and then you meet them and you're like, oh
yeah,
they're just normal people like me.
Yeah, that's exactly what came to my head. And like the coaches, and it's like, I mean, everyone part of the team is like, everyone just like a normal human being just doing swimming as their sport. So
yeah, 100%. Was there a coach that you worked with that maybe surprised you kind of like Reagan did?
I wasn't with too many. Okay, actually, a funny story. Carol, from Texas. She was. We were in Singapore, and Leah was doing like something pace. Leah Smith, and she was like with her stopwatch, like running down the pool, and she just falls backwards.
Carol like, does. Did she fall in the pool?
No, she didn't fall in the pool. But she was on the deck, and she wipes out. And she stands. Everyone's like, "Are you okay?" She stands up and goes, 28.
Stop. She didn't even miss a beat.
No, she got the time and everything. It was.
I love it. She had one job to do. She was like, Leah Smith, I'm getting your pace.
Yeah, I was.
Really coaches cool. are honestly heroes. I know, and you know, like we would not be the athletes that we are without coaches. So,
right. Yeah.
Shout out to Chris and everybody and every coach out there that's listening to this. We love you. We are here because of you. So,
yeah, without them, that's for sure.
No, for sure. Well, Alex, you zipped home from school. I'm sure you have swim practice, or are you on break right now?
I get back on Monday, so I have a little break.
All right. Well, then you know what? I'm not going to hold you up any longer. I'm going to actually let you enjoy your afternoon. Thank you so much for coming on and talking to me. You are such a joy. And I know that myself and everybody listening to this podcast is your biggest fan, and we are cheering for you and your twin brother heading into trials next summer, home trials. And hopefully dad gets you those Colts tickets for your birthday.
Right. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed talking.
Thanks, Alex. See you later.
See ya.
All right, everybody. That was Alex Shackle. Such a bright light in this world and a bright future for her, especially for USA Swimming. So for those of you that are following along, especially after these world championships, we have a lot of youth coming up in our pipeline, and she is absolutely one of those star-studded names that we will likely see in Paris and beyond, especially in LA. So super cool to have her on. Thank you all for listening. Barbini, we missed you. I hope you all endured this podcast without him. I know he is obviously the star of the show. But again, thank you always for listening, and feel free to subscribe, rate, do all of the good things wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you would like to follow Alex on Instagram and see her amazing dabbing skills, her Instagram handle is @AlexandraTheBeast. And with that, I'm Elizabeth Beisel, and we will talk to you on the next episode of the Kickset Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Kickset with USA Swimming. Head to usaswimming.org for more episodes, and make sure you subscribe to Kickset wherever you get your podcasts.